never thought that it'd be so simple, but I found a way, I found a way.
School's in session!
Time to bust out some pen and paper, folks. You're tuning in to Freshman 15 with me, DJ Red. I've got the latest tips, tricks, and personal advice to make your college experience fan-frickin-tastic. So what do you have to lose? Let's get this show on the road. It's gonna take some time to realize.
But if you look inside, I'm sure you'll find.
What's up, everybody? Tuning in the late hour of my broadcast, Freshman 15. This is DJ Red, one of your student broadcasters here at Penguin Radio, the official radio station of Dominican University of California. The reason we pushed back my radio broadcast here today in the studio is actually because we had a late night doubleheader for our softball programs. They played Holy Names and actually swept the team, which is amazing. Two of our three home game wins in the conference, so congratulations, ladies, to you out there. For those of you who have not heard my show before here on Freshman 15, this is actually a little college advice section where me, DJ Red, I give advice on college, how to make it better. Basically, it's been a semester-long journey on how to improve things like study habits or staying in touch with your friends at home, whatever it may be. And tonight, we are going to jump into show number 7 of 8. So we are finishing out this semester here very quickly. And the first segment I have for you guys today, I've mentioned it in previous broadcasts, but some of you who have not tuned in before may not know that I am a student athlete here on campus. And for those of you who are potentially interested in becoming a college athlete like myself, I wanted to jump into my first segment about college recruiting and what that kind of looks like for you guys today. So some of the logistics that go along with that. Each year, for those that do not know, about 460,000 student athletes actually participate in 24 different sports at more than 1,100 NCAA member institutions. Now, the NCAA is a place where that's kind of the organization that kind of leads all student athletes in regards to college athletics. And so you're going to hear me bouncing around their name a lot. And so, as I mentioned, that's a ton of people participating in student athletes every year. And the advantage of competing in college sports, it's huge. It's both immediate and lifelong. I can attest to this so far. Participating in college sports provides opportunities to learn, compete, and succeed. Student athletes receive top-notch academic support, which I've seen here at Dominican, quality medical care. We provide a bunch of different trainers who help you when you have injuries and stuff like that. We have a doctor who comes in. And in general, student-athletes receive regular access to outstanding coaches, facilities, and equipment. Student-athletes as a group graduate at higher rates than their peers in the general student body and feel better prepared for life after college. This is all from the NCAA main website and their opinions on why participating in athletics in college is so important. So recruiting and how that looks like, what that looks like. Recruiting happens when a college employee or representative invites a high school student-athlete to play sports for their actual college. That's what the term actually means. Recruiting can occur in many ways, such as face-to-face contact, phone calls, or even text messages sometimes. And the way that I communicated throughout my recruiting process was actually still through email or certain things being mailed to your home address. And nowadays, which is kind of cool, they could even connect on social media. So things like Facebook and checking out your profiles. So my whole segments that I talked about on digital reputation, this is where recruiting kind of can tie into that. A huge component in regards to your eligibility and whether or not you can actually become a recruit for college sports is a resource I want to talk about. It's eligibilitycenter.org, and that is for Division I and II prospective student athletes. You need to check out this website. And this is where you have to get cleared first for your amateurity status. So if you are eligible that way, and this is also where you are going to plug in. Now, some people think that it doesn't take that much to become a college student athlete, but I want to kind of show some statistics that prove otherwise, because as I was going through the process, there's actually some huge requirements coming out of high school. And aside from being an amateur in regards to whatever sport you're playing, you also have to have 16 NCAA approved core courses coming out of high school, and you have to upload or send over your official transcripts from high school showing that you have completed 4 years of math, 4 years of English, 4 years of science, and 4 social sciences and or elective credits. So sometimes if you're in high school, you may have heard the A through G requirements and stuff like that. This is kind of where that ties into college athletics. You have to have good grades and good standing within all 16 of those core courses, or you will not be eligible to compete in the NCAA. And that's a fun fact for most of you who may not know that about college athletes. There's a negative connotation that some student athletes aren't that smart, and it does take a lot for you to be eligible to play. So I want to talk about the 2 different kind of commitments you can make as a prospective student athlete. So the first thing is called a verbal commitment, and it's the first step within your recruiting process. And a verbal commitment happens when a college-bound student athlete verbally agrees to play sports for college before he or she signs and or is eligible to sign a national letter of intent. And the commitment is not binding for student athletes in any way or the school. That can come later, but this is just an agreement where you sit down either in person or on the phone with a coach saying, yeah, I would like to play for your team. And this is the first step to the recruiting process. The next section, which is the more official version, is the official commit, as I've mentioned. And this is you signing a national letter of intent to attend a Division I or II college. And normally you sign this at some kind of a club or at your high school. You'll see a lot of pictures of student athletes signing at their high school. This is what they're signing, a national letter of intent where they're agreeing to attend the school for 1 academic year. A lot of times within their national letter of intent, this is their in writing agreement to receive some form of scholarship money. So if you are interested in being recruited for college athletics, individual schools can offer you athletic scholarships, but that's only at the Division I or II level. And at this point, Division I and II schools provide about $2.7 billion actually in athletic scholarships annually to more than 150,000 student athletes. Now that's a lot of money that's helping students either come out of college with less debt or just being able to afford some top tier schools if you're a top tier player. Division III schools at this point in time within the NCAA, they have about 180,000 student athletes, but at this point they don't offer any athletic related financial aid. And for many student athletes, whether it's not coming from athletic, they're going to be receiving some form of academic grants and or need based scholarships. And this is across the board. So maybe you're going to a school like Dominican, and we can't offer full rides just because of the financial means that we are in as a university. So you might get partial athletic money, but you could also get partial academic money. And this comes into play when choosing what sports and or what universities you are interested in playing for as a prospective student athlete. So I want all of you to keep that in mind. And what's really cool about all this, it seems like really big numbers when we talk about it, but actually only 2% of high school athletes are awarded some form of athletic scholarship to compete in college. Now that's not many, and 2% of the entire country, that's insane. So I just want to keep that in the back of your mind that obviously not everyone gets all forms of athletic money. So if you do get one of those, that's a really big accomplishment. And it's all about talking to your coaches early, starting the recruiting process early. I'll kind of jump into my personal experience and advice with this in a minute. But there's a couple other terms I want to go over. The first one being a walk-on, because not everybody, as I mentioned before, is going to get athletic money. So a walk-on is actually someone who's not typically recruited by a school to participate in sports, and or they haven't received scholarship money from the school itself. And you can become a member of the school's athletic team this way, so you're guaranteed a roster spot, but you aren't guaranteed money, as I've mentioned before. And this is the way that actually Dominican does a handful of their recruiting. As far as I know, like, you have people who are on scholarship money, but then you have a handful of walk-ons or tryouts who are guaranteed a roster spot, and then they have the ability to work up to athletic money if they can show that they are giving back to the organization throughout their time and stuff like that. They're proving their worth, basically, to earn some form of money. For those of you who are just tuning in, this is DJ Red, and I'm doing a late night broadcast of my show Freshman 15 here on Penguin Radio, and we're talking about how people can get recruited for college athletics, because I am a student athlete here at Dominican University playing on the women's soccer team. And so I just kind of talked about general terms and kind of the process in regards to recruiting, but I wanted to jump into my personal story and or some advice that I have for all you students out there. Maybe you're still in high school, parents tuning in who are interested in helping others get recruited for college. This section's for you. So my first tip is to actually create some form of highlight video. And this goes across the board for any sport that you're playing in by collecting a highlight reel of all of your best moments showing the different, the versatile player that you can be, whether it's your layups and your free throw shooting or scoring goals, blocking them as a keeper, softball, hitting a home run, anything that it might be. Make sure you make some kind of a highlight video that you're able to send out to coaches you might be and universities you might be interested in. A second tip would be to proactively email, because the responsibility for this starts on you. There's a bunch of different kids who are playing sports all over the country, obviously, and no coach is going to know that you might be interested in their school unless you reach out and you're proactive with your search. And something that I just learned along my experiences, on top of the proactive emails and the highlight videos and stuff like that, you should be attending different college showcases depending on your sport. I know that soccer had those. I went to them with my competitive club team, and we would go to places like Vegas and stuff where a bunch of different colleges and or representatives from colleges would be there scouting players. There's also identification camps or open gym tryouts. Again, I know this kind of depends on your sport, and I'm going to be kind of biased talking about soccer, but it is what I know, so that's where I'm at this point. And moving forward with that, if an athlete fails to respond to a coach, because we're talking about emailing and that form of contact, if you aren't responding to a coach after you've kind of reached out and they start showing some interest and stuff, the coach is immediately going to think that an athlete isn't interested in your program. So I know that in high school you don't use your email as much as you do in college, but that's something you might want to pick up on now, because a coach is only going to keep you on their recruiting list if you're prompt and thorough and you're more personalized with your interactions, because those interactions, every time you communicate with a coach, whether it's in person, via email, or on the phone, those are going to be ways that he or she as a coaching staff puts a tally by your name and showing that you're interested. And also remember, when reaching out to college coaches, athletes do not send emails where you're CCing several different coaches on one email. I understand that math emails are easier, but it does not look favorable on your end, so just don't do it. And again, this is all part of being responsible and kind of growing up a little bit, but you might want to look at your voicemail, your email handle, and even your Twitter handle at this point, because you're going to need to start looking more professional as a prospective student athlete, and you need to be appropriate. As you move into the college setting, people are going to be watching you on social media, and everything you do is kind of monitored, like you're on top of your stuff, so it's important to maybe change some of those things over now. I know it seems small, but it can make a huge difference in your recruiting process. Now, the next section I want to talk about is there's a thing called official and unofficial visits that you can take as a prospective student. I know that you can do these within the soccer program here and at other universities, so I want to talk about those. And an unofficial visit is one where you're just visiting the institution of your choice and you're just kind of coming on your own whim. The coach hasn't invited you, but I challenge everyone that is interested in the university to come prepared. And that's basically just reaching out to the coaches I've mentioned before, being proactive. It's kind of like a preliminary job interview in a way. And if you're seeking a scholarship offer from the school, prepare some thoughtful questions as a direction, like where's the program going, or about the school's academic reputation. This will show the coach that you're actually interested, you've done the research in the university, and in general, it'll kind of help you get on their radar a little bit more if you haven't been asked on an official visit. Now, in regards to official visits, those are something that not everyone is guaranteed as a student, and if you get one, it's more than likely that you will be receiving some kind of scholarship money in regards to that. But you can attend as many unofficial visits to as many universities as you want. So I encourage all students to get on out, visit the campuses and stuff, because you're never really going to know how you fit in on a campus until you visit. And that was the case for me here at Dominican. I had never heard about this institution, and it was just a luck of the draw. And when I visited campus, I knew that this was the home that I wanted to be at for the next 4 years. So just keep that in mind. And again, with that, just don't avoid judging universities based on name recognition, because you might be looking at top tier schools like UC Santa Cruz or whatever it might be, top name schools, San Diego State or Fullerton, Long Beach State. These are obviously all just California schools. Maybe it's Stanford or whatever. Again, but those top name schools, those are going to probably be harder to get recruited into that class. So just don't avoid low name schools like Dominican University or others who might have the potential to offer you more money and or a roster spot and playing time over some of the bigger name institutions. And in general, it's the experience you're trying to get out of it. Again, make sure it's a good balance between athletics and academics. And now the last thing I kind of want to attest to here is what you do off the field is just as important as what you do on. We talked about highlight videos, being proactive, and obviously showing well at identification camps. But if you show excellence in the classroom, it tells a coach a lot about you as a person. And this can determine how likely they are to actually recruit you. They're going to be looking at your high school transcripts. They're going to see the eligibility center and how well you did on your NCAA core courses and stuff like that. And coaches know that a good student is more likely to make the most of their abilities and stay out of trouble, so they're more likely to recruit you. And in general, it also plays better for you because if they know you are getting a higher academic scholarship, they can give you some form of athletic and you're going to be better off coming to their university. I think that's why Dominican Athletics looks for highly intelligent students to be in their athletic programs, because sometimes going to a private institution is expensive, as I've mentioned before in my radio broadcast and dealing with college debt and stuff. But if you're coming in with a good academic status, that's a lot better for you in the long run. Now, for all you helicopter parents out there, this is a term where you are sometimes overly involved in students' lives. This is a little bit of advice for you guys, and just remember that college coaches don't want to deal with players' parents. This is a time where students really need to step up again, take that responsibility, and do the appropriate things for them to get recruited. I understand that moms or dads who are really involved with athletics all throughout their kids' lives want to jump in and be the one who emails and contacts coaches trying to get the most. But if a student, whether it's a son or daughter, actually does it, it'll benefit them in their recruiting process rather than hurt them by you guys stepping in and taking over the whole situation for them. I know this from experience. My parents were really great about allowing me, or pretty much making me, do all of the heavy lifting in regards to my recruiting process. Now, this is just a little fun fact that I found while researching different statistics about college athletics. Because I do think the overall experience is something that I'm going to look back on. I've spent 3 years here at Dominican as a student athlete, and honestly, the memories here, the connections I've built, and the opportunities I've gotten from playing college athletics is one of the best experiences I get to take away from college. So anyone who might be interested, I suggest that you look into it. There's NAIA, D3, again, D2, and Division I schools that you can look at playing, whatever sport it might be, and if you can do this in any way, I highly recommend it. And just this little fun fact that I found for all you girls out there, according to a study by the University of Virginia, 80% of female Fortune 500 CEOs actually describe themselves as former athletes. So maybe in the long run, student athletes could actually benefit you in your resume and job opportunities, because they know that the kind of person they're going to get is a committed, dedicated, works well in groups, type individual who's going to do well in a company. So I thought that was just a little fun fact to throw out for you guys today. So that's kind of what I have to say about the whole recruiting process. Obviously, there's loads more that I could talk about. But again, I want to reference that resource that I mentioned earlier, which was the eligibilitycenter.org, and or just go on to NCAA's main website and you can look up eligibility, how to get recruited, and stuff like that from those websites. That's how I found a lot of my information out. Neither of my parents were college athletes, so I had to do a lot of the heavy lifting, as mentioned before, by myself in that regard. So both parents and students alike, go ahead, check out those resources. It's about that time here for a little media timeout, folks. Here at Penguin Radio, this is DJ Red, and you've been listening to my show, Freshman 15. And I hope you've enjoyed listening here at radio.dominican.edu. We're going to be back shortly here, but right now I want to hit you up with some tunes that I got for you guys. So I hope you enjoy. Thank you.
I guess for now you've got the last laugh.
I'm sorry if I seem uninterested, or I'm not listening, or I'm indifferent. Truly, I ain't got no business here, but since my friends are here, I just came to kick it. But really, I would rather be at home all by myself, not in this room with people who don't even care about my well-being. I don't dance, don't ask, I don't need a boyfriend. So you can't go back, please enjoy your party, I'll be here somewhere in
pessimist, but usually I don't mess with this. And I know you mean only the best. Your intentions aren't to bother me, but honestly, I'd rather be somewhere with my people. We can kick it and just listen to some music with the message like we usually do. And we'll discuss our big dreams, how we plan to take over the planet. So pardon my manners, I hope you'll understand that I'll be here. Not there in the kitchen with the girl who's always gossiping about her friends. Or tell them I'll be here. Right next to the boy who's throwing up, cause he can't take what's in his cup no more. Oh God, why am I here? Talking about a hater, she ain't got none. How did it ever come to this? I should've never come to this. So holler at me, I'll be in the car when you're done. I'm standoffish, no one with your offering. And I'm done talking awfully. Sad it had to be that way. So tell my people when they're ready that I'm ready. And I'm standing by the TV with my beanie low. Yo, I'll be over here. Oh, yeah.
Yoga, Zumba, weight training classes, and more. At Dominican University of California, the Conlon Center offers a wide range of amenities to benefit your everyday health and wellness.
Do you want that freshman 15?
I don't think so.
So come on down to the Conlon Center, and while you're there, don't miss a second of the Penguin basketball games and volleyball matches that are held in the gymnasium.
And the Penguins win 78-76. The unthinkable has happened at the Conlon Center.
Not on a sports team, but want to play? No problem.
All DU students are encouraged to participate in rec sports. After a practice or a game, you can cool off by jumping into the pool. It's all at the Conlon Center.
Only at Dominican University of California.
And welcome back here in the studio with me, DJ Red. You're tuning in to my show, Freshman 15, here on Penguin Radio, the official radio station of Dominican University of California. In case you are just tuning in here to the broadcast, I have been talking a little bit about the college recruiting process for student athletes. And moving forward, I actually want to jump into the next section, which is making the most of your undergrad thesis. Now, this kind of ties into some of my previous broadcasts here on Penguin Radio. I wanted to kind of make a culminating show in which it was a semester-long journey, and they're all going to kind of tie into each other. So here, talking about the undergrad thesis, and I've mentioned it many, many times in shows before, but the Scholarly and Creative Works Conference is actually going on right now here at Dominican, finishing up today. This Friday, April 15th, and it's amazing to me. I got to walk around and see all of these senior and just upperclassmen culminating senior research projects, which has just been fantastic, honestly, to look at that. So I thought this was an important segment to jump into because almost all students pursuing some form of higher education, I found for the most part, are writing some kind of a thesis paper. And I personally am writing mine right now. We're going to talk about that in this segment, but in general, it's a really hard thing to do, and sometimes you kind of lose focus of why it's so important to your undergrad education or even your master's education. So I kind of wanted to talk about that with you guys today. And reflecting on my academic and future pursuit of career opportunities thus far, I see strings of, there's absolutely no way I could possibly do this moment. And I'm sure some of you have had those before as well. And through just the right mix of curiosity and grit, excitement, support, and quite honestly, sheer dumb luck, I've seen accomplishments in these moments. And it's the act of pushing myself to do these tasks that once seemed insurmountable, basically, and it's kind of shaped the way my life has twisted and turned in unexpected and wonderful ways. So I kind of want to share how this experience has been for me so far in college and why this is so important to work really hard towards your undergrad thesis. Now, my journey begins, of course, it's kind of currently still circulating around, but around my senior capstone project. That's where all of this kind of goes along with. Here at Dominican, we have requirements for the completion of a senior thesis for many, if not all, degree-seeking students. And I know this is a looming, culminating project. It's just one that I thought about from time to time throughout my freshman and sophomore year. But honestly, it never hit me fully, the burden of this project, up until this year in my senior research methods course, which I'm taking right now as a junior. So you can imagine how stressful that might be. So over the last 13 or so weeks of the semester, I have actually been working my butt off to produce what is currently a 13-page and progressing version of my senior thesis. And through my experience so far, while there have been moments of utmost agony, I guarantee you, late nights writing this paper, I can say that writing an undergrad thesis not only presents students with an opportunity to push the boundaries of their analytical abilities and hone in those skills of that are really attractive to future employers, but it also provides the potential to make a significant real-world impact within a field that is meaningful to me and others that are writing their senior research paper. And that's kind of what I got to see from the Scholarly and Creative Works Conference, was that by individually picking a topic of your choice, depending on your major, you can go into so much further into the field than you ever thought possible. And I want to see what that kind of looks like today and share with you what I've been studying so far this semester and how I plan on progressing that moving forward. For those tuning in, this is DJ Red and I'm doing my show Freshman 15. I know I just mentioned this before, but we are jumping into why the undergrad thesis is so important in regards to your entire college experience. Now, for my first bit of advice in regards to this and my personal experience, I recommend that all students actually start this process early, and that can be done in many ways. So first off, I took my thesis preparatory class, as mentioned before, a course which prepares students for thesis writing and how to analytically research within my specific department. The course is called Research Methods, actually. I took that right now, spring semester of my junior year, which is actually a whole year ahead of when a handful of students do, but I recommend this approach to everyone out there. And that's mainly from my experience with my fellow senior friends who are experiencing both capstone and research methods at the same time right now and are just completely swamped in regards to the research that they're having to do. Moving forward with my research, I have this 13-page paper. It'll be 15 by the end of semester. I'll be done with this paper moving into summer. And moving forward, I actually get to just take more time with the topic that I've chosen, and I kind of have preliminary research out of the way, and I can actually delve deeper into it if I want to versus everything being done and needing to be turned in right away my senior year. I get more time with my topic, so in general, I'm going to be able to produce a better quality thesis. And it also, for me, means spending my senior year a little bit more focused on just perfecting the writing again and how I want to present this at next year's conference and how I want to leverage this in regards to future job opportunities. So I won't be spending my senior year focused on all the research, which is really, it's a huge burden to deal with. I can mention that because honestly, researching for these things is insane and I can attest to that. And I feel for all seniors out there and other graduates who are working on their thesis, it is a lot of work. So getting that out of the way junior year so you can work on your presentation and how you're going to work this into your life for senior year is a lot more beneficial. The next thing that I kind of want to just mention in regards to advice is to pick a topic that moves you. And I had touched on this a little bit before, but this is your chance to actually get really close with a subject that matters to you. And throughout college, for me personally, I became really interested in sports public relations and marketing. That's become my emphasis thus far. And eventually, I decided that's what I wanted to write my thesis on. And coming from what I took my approach on was my hometown of Sacramento, California. We have a semi-professional soccer team there. And so for my senior thesis, I am analyzing their marketing department and some of the successes they had during their inaugural season. So for those listening in that know Sacramento Republic FC, that's the organization I've been looking at. and choosing this topic has taught me an extraordinary amount about the new information out there about effective sports marketing, and it kind of solidified what I really want to do with my career path after college. And in general, this research, while it was so cumbersome, it was beneficial because now moving forward, I can implement all of these new things that I learned into my line of work, which is really awesome. So I encourage people and students that have to deal with an undergrad thesis to pick a topic that matters to them. Obviously, you've chosen your major because you're kind of interested in things. So some of the different subject matters that I saw while walking around the conference yesterday was a psychology student was analyzing the desensitization of society in regards to violent video games. There was an athlete who is in public health that was analyzing how artificial turf was affecting athletic injuries versus real grass pitches that they were playing on. So that was really interesting to look at. We looked at osteoporosis, how music can be implemented for teaching autistic students, and all kinds of different things were being presented on. And I thought it was super awesome that the individuality that goes into each research paper is so fascinating. And if you pick a topic you're actually interested in, you're just in general going to create a much better product. So for students who see this thesis requirement as just something to check off in the list of graduation requirements, honestly, it's just not about that. You need to take it a step further because in general, that's going to make you feel so much better. And however, students who see this as a chance to, again, gain that experience in an area of interest, you're going to see the value in the work that you're putting in post-graduation. At least that's where I'm hoping to currently go with this. So I've heard of past success stories either online or just through my friends, and they've inspired me to take my thesis work very seriously and moving forward with this. I have really big goals in regards to the research I've been doing. So actually in the last year, I've actually had a part-time employment opportunity with Sacramento Republic FC soccer team that I said I was doing my thesis on. I've spent the last year with them. And it's been a great opportunity to not only network with some of the bigger name people in the organization, but also just, again, further emphasize the fact that working in the sports communications field is definitely something I am interested in. And upon graduation in May 2017, what I'm hoping to do with my undergrad thesis is present it, because I'm working from a case study type methodology, is to hopefully present this case study to the organization as a portfolio piece and a huge leverage in regards to my future employment. And so that's why I've been spending so much time on this. Again, started my junior year, will be spending almost all of my senior year and part of my summer working on interviewing people within the company, talking to the marketing department, and working on an individualized SWOT analysis and things like that. And in general, maybe, and what I'm hoping for, is if I can get a job opportunity out of my thesis, that's going to be the main goal. So again, encouraging all students to pick something they're passionate about, and you never know in the end how this could be leveraged for future job opportunities. And I totally understand that there's a huge potential that Sac Republic won't work as a job opportunity, but that doesn't mean other potential doors aren't going to be open for me and others who take their undergrad thesis seriously. And I just want to know that going in depth in my research as I've done, will at some point I'll see the fruits of my labor in regards to the opportunities that are out there. I just kind of want to talk to you from my experience. Again, that's kind of what I do here on my show. Freshman 15 is my experience in telling you how cool my life has been, basically. So with my soccer pursuit and sports communications pursuit that I've done so far, I actually, working within the organization, Sacramento is working on becoming an MLS expansion team. For those that don't know anything about Major League Soccer, Sacramento is one of the teams that's hoping to join the league of 28. And I actually, within last summer, got to actually sit down with top-tier figureheads and network with them. But they're going to be future resources that I can use. So these are big-name people like Kevin Nagel and Benny Aziz, all these people who have been working on what's known as Project Turnkey to get Sacramento an MLS team. And now that I have all of these great connections that are, as mentioned before, huge in regards to the business world of athletics and everything else, these are all opportunities that I have just gotten from doing research and things like that. So whatever, I digress on that situation. Again, that's just me being proactive in my attempt to further my career path, and the thesis is just kind of part of that. On top of that as well, again, this doesn't totally correlate with my senior thesis, but it's about being proactive and showing how you get into things as much as you put out of them. So I've mentioned in my previous broadcast that I had applied for the San Francisco Public Relations Roundtable Scholarship. And it was in my segment that I talked about rejection and how last year I actually was chosen as a finalist, but then later rejected for the scholarship. And I was reapplying this year, went through the whole interview process here on campus. And I've just found out actually in the last couple of weeks that I am a winner of this year's scholarship. So I'm really excited about that opportunity. And just through connections with some of my friends here at school, I do a ministry group called Young Life here on campus. And one of my friends and mentors there actually put me in touch with a lady she works with at an organization who just so happens, we connected on LinkedIn, she just so happens to be the chair of the San Francisco Public Relations Board. So she was talking about connecting with me because she actually specialized in sports public relations back in the day before she went over to Blurb, which is her current company. But I digress. She was talking about how we need to sit down at the luncheon I'll be attending on April 26th, and she's going to help me network with other PR professionals during the luncheon at the end of April. So I was super excited about that, and I definitely am going to bring up my thesis in regards to these people that I'm talking about, because that's kind of how I won the scholarship. I was talking to the selection committee about how I had started my thesis work so early my junior year, and what it meant for public relations and how I was integrating some of my thinking and class and what I was learning to the company. And they thought that was really amazing that I was already looking so into the future in regards to my implementation process. And those kind of things are enticing to employers. So if you can utilize that at any point in regards to just catching up with someone at a coffee shop or getting those informational interviews, which I've talked about again before in some of my past broadcasts, these are all really important things that you guys could be leveraging. This undergrad thesis could be your in, and I know it's a lot of hard work, but in general, if you do this, you are going to benefit so much down the line. I'm hoping to see, again, some of my hard work come to tenfold in the next year or so. So stay tuned for that if you ever hear about an amazing public relations sports student athlete coming out of Dominican. You may just find out who DJ Red is. It's like my anonymous name here. It's kind of like I'm Hannah Montana living a double life. But in general, again, I am just really excited about the potential of the future. I encourage all of you working on your senior thesis and any other undergrad research you may be doing to take it seriously, because you never know where these opportunities are going to take you in the future. I think that's a great way to kind of tie up this second segment here on my show, Freshman 15. Again, this has been DJ Red here, and thank you for tuning in to Penguin Radio here at radio.dominican.edu. Don't close that web page, because Freshman 15 will be back in just a few short minutes. So thank you guys for tuning in, and I hope you will stick around for the next couple of minutes. Thank you, and enjoy.
Don't need permission, made my decision to test my limits. Cause it's my business, God is my witness, stop what I finished. Don't need no holder, taking control of this kind of moment. I'm locked and loaded, completely focused, my mind is open. All that you got's gonna skip. Know what I'm doing, the way we're moving, like introducing us to a new thing. I wanna save it for later, the taste of flavor, cause I'm a taker, cause I'm a giver, it's only nature, I live for danger. All that you got, skin to skin, oh my God, don't you step up, something about you. Something about you makes me wanna.
That a text takes your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds? At 55 miles per hour, that's long enough to travel the length of a football field. Just turn it off. Trust me, whatever it is, you'll live. This public service announcement is brought to you by the DJs of Penguin Radio. Hey guys, what's up? This is DJ Red, and you're listening to my show Freshman 15 here on Penguin Radio, the official radio broadcast of Dominican University of California. Thanks for tuning in here today, and in case this is the first time you are tuning in here this evening, I'm just going over a lot of college advice from personal experience, and in general, we're going to jump on into my third and final segment here today of show number 7. We are coming to a very, very close end to this semester in my whole journey here through college advice and stuff like that. Again, so I just want to start out by, for this segment, saying that on Monday, April 18th, it will actually be my 21st birthday. Woo, yeah, craziness. Not really. But in general, that kind of ties into my last segment, I promise you, because I wanted to give a little bit of advice. Now, this might seem a little risque to any administrators listening and or professors. Now, don't worry, but my topic for this segment is drinking in college. And you're like, how are you, DJ Red, going to give advice on drinking in college? Well, let's listen for the next couple of minutes and find out. So as I mentioned, I turned 21 on Monday, and in my last 3 years here in college, I've actually seen a lot of different ways that alcohol has affected my college experience and or my friends, teammates, other students in other universities, not just Dominican, and just in general, I thought it was an important subject to kind of talk about. So kind of starting things off, drinking in college. For many students, I understand that going away to college is the first point in your life when you begin to experience the ability to make your own decisions about life or day-to-day things, whatever it might be. And there are many fewer rules in regards to the choices you're making. And without parents nearby to enforce these rules, adverse consequences often appear to exist in people's lives. And I'm noticing that in regards to alcohol. And it's not surprising that college is the first time people are personally experimenting in many areas of behavior. And again, in fact, college is known for personal growth in regards to experimentation and stuff like that. And the main thing I want to focus on is alcohol and what that means to your life. You're coming into college between the ages of 17 and probably 25 is when you will be in college at the prime of your higher education. And I just want to talk about what that means when you are under the legal drinking age, because in case those listeners out there that are still in college don't realize this, in California still, and for most of the United States, I believe, the legal drinking age is still 21 years old. So it is illegal to drink underage. I just want to make that very clear to all listeners out there. I know that. I understand that almost all of you should know that, but you are still choosing to consume alcohol anyways. And a lot of statistical information that I'm going to present in this little segment here today, I've pulled from the National Institute of Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism. So I'm not just making up these numbers. These are actually recorded numbers from a census that was taken in regards to alcohol consumption in college and what that kind of looks like. And my biggest concern for why this kind of bothers me in regards to what I've noticed about drinking habits in college is obviously college is the place. We talk about it as student ambassadors here on campus, that no matter what university you go to, drinking is going to be a part of the culture that is around college campuses. And you can seek it if you wish, and you can be involved in that culture. And I understand binge drinking and partying is all part of the process, but heavy drinking in college is a risk factor for developing future alcoholism in later life. And although I totally understand not everyone is going to become an alcoholic, it is a precursor to alcoholism in just a few students. And if you drink in that fashion, there's a chance, if you have that personality type who's addicted to this kind of stuff and or it runs in your family, just be conscientious that probably about 9% of all college students are going to come out of college based on their drinking habits as alcoholics. Now, obviously, this isn't a significant concern as it does produce low levels of risk. But for those that do, and they should be concerned about this kind of thing, alcoholism is a serious, serious problem that can affect your life in very serious ways. So just keep that in mind. That is a huge concern of mine, because I understand that, again, the college culture emphasizes drinking and things like that. But just keep in mind how this could affect you later in life. Now, that could be in regards to your future job search. I've mentioned digital reputation before. How smart are you about posting on social media and other things when you're talking about your drinking habits and stuff? But, in general, just make it clear that that's the way that that's going to go. The next part I have here is just, I want to be clear again that for college students that are under 21, the possession and use of alcohol is illegal, and it involves a risk of criminal prosecution. In fact, about 40% of college students face disciplinary action for their use of illegal substances, such as alcohol being the primary one, at some point in their college career. Unfortunately for most, this is a one-time event only, which does not lead to any enduring consequences, but at least a handful of students within their college experience will get in trouble for alcohol at one point or another. And for some, however, the administrative and or legal consequences can be severe and even life-altering, so just keep that in mind. I mentioned before alcoholism, but it could even involve things like injury and death, and we'll touch on some of those statistics in a moment. To avoid this sort of difficulty, you'll need to make choices about when, where, and with whom you are drinking. And so that's kind of where I want to give the advice on this, because as mentioned before, I'm not going to be your mom here to tell you you can or can't drink in college, but if you choose to do so, knowing that it is illegal, these are some pointers that I've kind of picked up on in my experience thus far. So first, drinking with people who drink very heavily themselves and who are likely to be pressuring others about how much they drink are the people you want to stay away from. Excuse me for that. The second advice I have in regards to your drinking environment, drinking in loud social settings with a lot of people consuming alcohol tends to invite illegal or administrative attention. So maybe keeping it low key, just a kickback at someone's house, is a lot better than a huge party where you know that administrative attention is going to be drawn. You don't want to get fined. I know that happens a lot here on Dominican's campus, so kind of keep that in mind if you do choose to consume alcohol. Another piece of advice I have for college students in regards to drinking is drinking with people you don't know very well, especially when you're unaccompanied by a trusted friend, is super risky. In fact, it's the basic rule of drinking, in my opinion. You should never enter a social situation where alcohol is alone. You should always have a friend and stay in close contact with that friend, just in regards to date rape and all of this thing that's coming up in college campuses. Just be aware, both men and women, that you should always have a friend in drinking situations. And remember, moderation is always important. So just know your personal limits. And that's kind of, in my opinion, how college is a good way to learn your drinking habits, because if you do it in a safe environment with friends, obviously, again, not until you're 21 is the legal limit, but I understand that parents are out there sometimes, and sitting down and knowing your limits beforehand is actually more beneficial, because then you aren't going to be blacked out, puking, drunk in the streets somewhere. You can kind of learn your limits through moderation. So I think that that is a key takeaway in regards to what I have there. You are listening to my show, Freshman 15, with me, DJ Red, here in the studio. And this is my show, Freshman 15, as I've just mentioned, and we're talking about drinking in college and how that can kind of affect you. So a little bit of statistics. I had mentioned before that serious health consequences could be at risk if you decide to drink in college. So for those out there, I did a research paper on this. I did a student-written report on the online student newspaper, the Dominican Beat, and this was one of the statistics I found and presented. So more than 1,800 students die actually every year of alcohol-related causes, and an additional 600,000 are injured while drunk, and nearly 100,000 become victims of alcohol-influenced sexual assaults. So that's about 1 in 4 say that their academic performance have suffered from drinking. Those are huge statistics that I think need to be taken more seriously and into consideration when people consider drinking in college, what that looks like for underage minors and things like that. I then conducted an interview for this report, and the administrators at Dominican, we sat down and talked about how Dominican's campus is different from state schools, UC schools, or whatever it might look like, and they were saying that even at small private schools like Dominican, we still face some of the problems that a lot of larger public institutions experience. We just experience roughly 1 to every 20 of their incidents, whether it's needing to call an ambulance because of alcohol poisoning and things like that. Again, it's roughly 1 to their 20. And Levi Shanks, the Director of Student Rights and Responsibilities at Dominican, he personally can be quoted saying, from my article and from my interview, saying he believes that a solution from here would be to address misconceptions about alcohol in hopes of educating those who actively choose to drink. Because if it is occurring, which he knows it is, it must be done in a responsible manner that does not put students at risk legally or health-wise. And I think that that's important and a huge takeaway I want to have for you guys here today listening to my advice on college drinking. Dominican currently works closely with the San Rafael Alcohol Compliance Team, and administrators put out a program every year for incoming students and new students, even transfers, called Campus Clarity. And it's an educational program for all new students about alcohol consumption and sexual misconduct. So I think that's a great way to kind of teach students how to be responsible if they are going to choose to experiment with alcohol consumption in college. Again, you can check out my article. It's on student published works within the DominicanBeat.org. That's a great way for you to either read this article or just find more information again in regards to how serious this problem is, guys. It's a really big thing. But that's all I have in regards today for college drinking and my advice on that. I want to thank you guys for tuning in today. I know this is a different time than I normally produce my show, but thank you guys so much for tuning in to Penguin Radio. This has been DJ Red on my show, Freshman 15. I want you guys to tune in next week to my final show. I'm really excited about closing this all out with you guys. I hope you enjoy your weekend, and God bless all of you listening today. In case you got lost in the awesomeness that is my show, for the last hour, I've been sharing some personal college advice. If you like what I had to say this week, I highly encourage you to tune in again next Friday, 11 a.m. for the Freshman 15 with me, DJ Red. Thank you guys so much for listening in on radio.dominican.edu. Penguin Radio is the official radio station of Dominican University of California, where fellow students like myself are given the opportunity to write, produce, and record our own personalized radio programs. We are sponsored by the Arts, Humanities, and Social Sciences program and produced under the Communication and Media Studies Department, where our chair is Brad Van Alstine, our executive producer is Leona George Davidson, and our faculty advisor is Stuart Horn. We'll be right back. I hope you all have had a great time tuning in, and have a great weekend, everybody.